to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Look for Mark to say amen. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it that Jesus of Nazareth, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." When men consider that mercy is not something that they can earn, borrow, or steal, but is dispensed according to the sovereign will of the Creator, then they will bow before His throne and scepter and acknowledge that He's truly God. And with blind Bartimaeus, they'll cry, "Lord, have mercy on me." Or with the publican who we mentioned this morning, they'll beg, "Lord, I know that I don't deserve it, and you don't owe it to me, and I can't make you give it to me, but if you will, be merciful to me, a sinner." And only when men consider that mercy is not something that they can earn, borrow, or steal, will they come to that place. They just will not come to that place as long as they believe that they're entitled to mercy, or as long as they believe that mercy somehow can be earned by their works, somehow they can be placed in the favor of God because of who they are or what they are. Why then will men not ask for this mercy? Even though mercy is God's prerogative, yet it's not given to those who do not desire it. We oftentimes talk about the doctrine of sovereignty and the doctrine of election, and sometimes people are made to think that what we're talking about is that God elects a man unto salvation, and the election that we're talking about is that He takes this man unwillingly, that He makes him an unwilling subject. But I'll tell you here and now, there'll never be one who embraces the mercy of God but what is made willing to embrace it. There will never be one who will desire the mercy of God but what wants to desire the mercy of God. God will not have no unwilling subjects in His kingdom. God will not have no unwilling inhabitants of His heaven. Every man will be willing. Even though mercy is God's prerogative, yet it is not given to those who do not desire it. A man must desire it before he'll ever receive it. Now, I think that I know of three reasons why men will not ask for mercy. First, it's because of ignorance. That's one reason why men will not ask for mercy, is because of ignorance. I heard old brother preacher just recently, and he said he'd been preaching to a people for 20 years. And he said they never knew what he was talking about. They'd been preaching to a people for 20 years. And he said they were so dumb and ignorant, they didn't know what he was talking about. And when they did finally get some insight or a glimpse as to what he was saying, that's when they turned him off. Would have nothing more to do with it. But ignorance is one reason why men will not ask for mercy. Because men are totally destitute of any knowledge of the holiness of God. If a man doesn't have any understanding or knowledge of who God is, and his righteous character, they're certainly not going to appeal to him for mercy. They're destitute of any knowledge of the holiness of God. They're destitute of any knowledge of the rigorous demands of his righteous law, and they are certainly ignorant of their own depraved condition. The Bible says in the book of Romans, and I want to read it to you, chapter 10, verse number 2. It has this to say about man's ignorance in regard to the righteousness of God and regard to the condition of a man's soul. You see, a man would dishonor God by expecting him to receive their sincerity and good works, morality, and 1,000 other things as sufficient for their ticket to heaven. Now, here in this 10th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul says, "For I bear them record." That is, I go on record knowing what I'm talking about and knowing what these people believe. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Keep in mind now, we're talking about why men will not ask for mercy. And I've said they won't ask for mercy because they're totally ignorant and destitute of any knowledge of the holiness of God and their own alienated, depraved condition. This verse says now, verse number 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Being ignorant then of God's righteousness means two things. It means, first off, that one is not acquainted with God's personal righteousness and holiness, and that one I don't want to use the word reject, but I guess that's the word for it. One rejects either deliberately or unknowingly the righteousness of God which is by faith in Christ. When men are ignorant of the personal righteousness of God, then they go about to establish their own righteousness. Well, they suppose that God may be pleased with something other than what He's demanded. And God has demanded absolute perfection. When a man, you see, is ignorant of the righteousness of God, when he's ignorant of it, what does he do? He goes around trying to establish a righteousness of his own, thinking that the righteousness of his own would be pleasing or would be a substitute for that which God Almighty demands. Ignorant of the righteousness of God. God demands absolute perfection. That's what He demands. I want you to know this evening, brethren, that God is so righteous and God is so holy that He would not spare His own Son. And if God would not spare His own Son under any circumstance, then He's certainly not going to spare you and I. Now, if there was ever a person in the entirety of the human race that God would let off of the hook, don't you reckon it would be the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son? I reckon it would be. But God did not let His own Son off of the hook. Did not. He was made sin in our behalf. And when He was made sin in our behalf, God poured out the vials of His wrath upon Him. God did not withhold anything by way of His wrath or His hatred towards those who were transgressors of His law. But God poured out every ounce, every drop of the gall of bitterness, God poured it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He who spared not His own Son. Now, you see what I'm talking about? Why is it that men will not seek mercy or will not call upon God for mercy? First off, because they're ignorant of the righteousness of God and the demands of God. They're ignorant of it. They don't know. They don't know. They're ignorant of their own condition. They don't know how bad off they are. They don't think they think they've got a virus. They think they're just sick. They think that there's hope for a cure. Somebody's going to come up with a cure and cure them. Somehow God's going to wink at their disobedience in the end time and say, well, that's all right, you did the best you can. But, you see, they're ignorant of the righteousness of God because if God did not spare His own Son, see, if there was any person that could have been spared or let off of the hook, certainly it would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. But God will not spare the guilty. God will not spare the guilty. Whosoever sinneth shall surely die. That's what he says. Well, I want you to know, secondly, that to reject or to turn aside God's Son is to damn your soul forever. That's right. For a man to turn aside the mercy that God gives or grants or dispenses in Christ and says, I'll have none of it. I'll have none of it. I do not want. I'm tired of all this Jesus business. I don't want it. I've had enough. I've heard enough about it. Well, I want you to know that when a man does that, he damns himself forever, because God will accept no other righteousness other than the righteousness that was worked out in His Son. God will not accept it. And it's an insult to the honor and integrity of God Almighty to offer something to Him by the deeds of the flesh or the works of the law, hoping or trusting or believing that somehow what you do or what we say or what we think or what our intentions are, God may grant mercy to us. No, sirree, God will not grant mercy to anybody apart from the mercy and righteousness that's been worked out in the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, brethren, I want us to know here this evening that God is not in any way obligated to save anyone. He may, now listen to me, He may have mercy, or He may harden us according to His good pleasure. Not obligated to save any of us. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 9, I believe it is, it's a verse that I've used time and time again, that says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Well, men cannot perceive their need of such. Consequently, unless a miracle takes place, poor sinners now are doomed for eternal damnation. Well, a man does not obligate the Lord Jesus Christ by his decision for Jesus. Salvation, and we've told you time and time again, is knowing the only true God. And one certainly cannot know God or His Son unless the Son is pleased to reveal Him to him. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. Now listen, I'm saying that a man cannot know God or His Son unless the Son is pleased to reveal Himself to that person. Listen to this verse. All things, that's you and I, we're included in that all things. You underscore that. All things, that includes every one of us. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. All things now. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now God has, according to this verse, delivered us all into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've said this time and time again. According to this verse of Scripture, the all things now are delivered unto me of my Father. That includes every one of us. Every member of Adam's race has been delivered into the hands of Him who's on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that be so, and it is so, according to the Scriptures, He must save us or damn us. See? He must do it. Not will He do it, can He do it, what will be the ultimate? He must, you see. God must do something with us. All things have been delivered. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. That is, every one of us have been delivered into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now He's got to do something with us. See? He's got to do something with us. Now He must save us, or He must damn us. One of the two. God help us if we ever get a hold of that. If a man ever gets a hold of that, he'll get something right there. You ever understand that, you'll understand something of free grace, and you'll understand something of the sovereignty of God. That God has delivered us all into the hands of His Son, and He must save us or damn us. And if men were not ignorant of these things, they would beg for mercy. See? Men don't know that. If everybody would know that he's been delivered into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ must either save him or damn him, what would happen to him if he knew that? He'd beg God for mercy. That's what he'd do. But he don't know that. He don't know it. You see, he's ignorant. Of what? Ignorant of the righteousness and the rigorous demands of Almighty God. And he's ignorant of his own depraved condition. Now, another reason why men will not ask for mercy is this, is because they are filled up. They are choked up with unbelief. If you could really corner a man, they would admit their unbelief. Actually, most persons that I know of and that I talk to and am around, they do not really believe they're sinners. Is that true with your experience? Most people do not really believe they're sinners. If they don't believe they're sinners, they're never going to beg God for mercy, are they? They're ignorant, dumb. Brother Barnard said they wouldn't know the Lord Jesus Christ if they met Him in the middle of the road. That's right. They wouldn't. Men do not believe that they're sinners and deserve eternal punishment. They certainly don't believe that. They don't believe that they deserve to go to hell. They don't believe that. You can't convince a man that. You can take the Scriptures and talk to him and take a club and beat him, and he will not believe that he has earned or he deserves to go to hell. Well, men do not believe that there is a place where men shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Don't believe that. Years ago, I was preaching and I was talking about this, about the fires of hell. And a young woman at that time, this has been about several years back, and the woman was relatively young, and she got real upset. And she She said, "Well, I never heard that before, and I just don't believe it. I do not believe that there is a place of eternal torment. I don't believe it." And so she called and asked me if I'd come to her house and visit with her and talk to her about it. And I did. I went to her house, and that's the first that she had her father-in-law there with her. And her father-in-law proposed certain propositions and questions to me in regard to the awfulness of this terrible place called hell. And did I really believe it? Was there such a place? And did the Bible teach that? Or was it just all a myth? Or was it something that men used to scare people? And I tried to assure him the best way that I knew how that there was a place. There was a place where men go who are not hid in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are unpardoned and unforgiven, who cry not for mercy, and who die with a lie in their right hand. They go to hell. Now, men do not believe that there is a place where men shall be tormented day and night forever. And if they did believe that, they'd cry out for mercy. And now here's the most astounding thing, I think, as to why men will not cry out for mercy. Listen, most men do not believe that God had anything to do with the death of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Most men, you talk to men about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them that Jesus Christ was born to that end. That in the mind of God He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that God delivered all things and brought that into one particular focal point on Golgotha, on Calvary. That it was God Himself who bruised the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God who poured out His wrath upon Jesus there on the cross. And men will say, what kind of a God is that who would punish His own Son, who would send His own Son to Calvary? Men do not believe that God had anything to do with the death of His Son. Did you know that? Men don't believe that. Ask them sometime. Ask them tomorrow where you work or you get to talk to someone about religion, ask him if he believes that God had anything to do with the death of Jesus Christ. And immediately he'll tell you, oh no, there's a bunch of people there in Jerusalem and they got jealous of Jesus because he's such a good man and they just decided to kill him. And God didn't have anything to do with it. It was cruel, wicked murders. And they lusted for his life and they thirsted for his blood and they would not be satisfied until their lust was satisfied. And so they killed him. God didn't have anything to do with it. It was the Jews killed Jesus. It was the Gentiles that killed Jesus. But brethren, behind it all, it was God. It pleased God to bruise him, see. It was God who poured out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that? Most people that I know of and that I have to do with, they do not believe that God had anything to do with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if such poor sinners could see the thin thread upon which they hang barely out of the jaws of hell, if they could only see the rich man who's been in hell for these many hundred years, being tormented in the flames of God's wrath, then I'm sure, I'm positive, that they'd beg for mercy. But they're ignorant. They're ignorant. That's the reason why men will not beg or sue God for mercy. They're ignorant. Well, the writer of the book of Hebrews knew far better than that. Listen to what he said. He said, "For we know him that said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. Vengeance is mine. Don't you go about it. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, avenging those that would do hurt to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, or do hurt to you, or do hurt to my son, that's not your business. Vengeance belongeth to me, and I, God, will recompense. See? Then again, it says the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And lastly now, men will not beg for mercy, or they will not sue God for mercy because of their pride. To beg for mercy is humbling and humiliating. Man won't do that, will he? Man won't do that because it's too humiliating. To beg God for mercy, it's an indication of what? It's an indication of one's weakness. See? To beg God for mercy is to say that I'm totally dependent upon another for mercy, or totally dependent upon another for salvation. But this, I guess, is too much to ask out of this generation, don't you think? You know what this generation says? It says we're rich. Increase with goods and have need of nothing. We're not going to beg you for salvation. We're not going to beg you. You think I'm going to beg you to save me? Never in this world am I going to humble myself. Beg? No, I'm not going to do that. Well, here's a solemn warning of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And how does a man humble himself? Well, I'll tell you how. I think we can find the answer to this question as it falls from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said there in the book of Luke, chapter 18, he said in telling a story or narrative of his experience, he said that the publican was standing afar off, and he would not lift his eyes, or would not lift his eyes up to heaven. But all he could do was smite upon his breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this man, said the Lord Jesus Christ, went down to his house, what? Justified. And this man went down to his house justified. He had no pride. Had no pride. Understood his condition. Understood something of God's demands. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, if I'm ever pardoned of my sins, you'll have to do it. He says, Lord, I know that I'm not entitled to it. I'm not entitled to mercy. That's what he said. I'm not entitled to it. He says, I know I can't buy it, because he said, I'm destitute of righteousness. I can't buy mercy. And he said, I'm powerless to do anything about it. He said, I can't make you give me mercy. That's what he said. I can't make you do it. But he said, Father,
if you will, if you will, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's humbling yourself. Have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner to the umpteenth degree. I have no merit about me. I haven't got anything that I can brag about. Oh, God, help us to see our destitute condition. Help us to empty ourselves of our righteousness, our self-righteousness, and our pride, and come before Him as we are. Come before and quit thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. God, help us. We're sinners. We're sinners. I don't know whether all of you know that or not. But bless God, you're a sinner whether you know it or not. You're as bad as I am, and you may even be worse. I don't know. But I know, bless God, that we're sinners. And I know, unless you know, that you are a sinner. That you never in this world or in the world to come will you sue God for mercy unless you know it. You won't do it. You won't do it. Because you're ignorant of what God's demand, because your pride is too great, and a thousand other things that I haven't got time to mention. God help us. God help us. We're objects of pity. Objects of pity. Oh, if we're ever saved.